You know, folks, it's a wonderful blessing to be a part of this community, especially this time of year. You know, we have a lot going on for our upcoming Easter season with the musical that's going on down at the Mishler. You can pick up tickets back there for that this morning. We're going to be hosting the sunrise service again on Easter Sunday, but it's going to be with all of the churches here in the area as well, so that's going to be wonderful. We got the prayer and fast going on now. I hope that you're participating in some way in that. Arlene and I are, and we're enjoying it and learning a lot. But, you know, I wanted to just recognize this morning also that we had the pastor's prayer here today. We were the host of it. With our group this morning, we had 24 pastors and leaders praying together over in our cafe at 6:30 this morning. Actually got them to take a group picture out here at the front door, which is awesome. I wanted our purpose and mission to be in that. What a great group of people this is, a great group of pastors and leaders. What a wonderful thing it is. We spent a lot of time in prayer this morning. And then we came here, and then our staff, we gathered back here in the green room and prayed together at 8:30. And I said, here, let's take a selfie. And Matt said, can more than one person be in a selfie? And I hadn't thought about that. But you've confused me, Matt. I got to go look that up. Is it just one person if it's a selfie? But anyway, we took that picture, and we had spent time praying for each other and praying for you and praying for this moment. So let's go to the Word and see what it has to say to us today. You know, Bob did a really good job in introducing the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah is an interesting book in that if you read these three chapters, there's nine different sections, nine different declarations, nine different words, if you will, from the prophet, from God. Some call them nine oracles that he is giving. And it's really different from the beginning and the end. In other words, the first eight are of one particular subject, and then the ninth one is very, very different. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Here's the first one, Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Look at what it says here. He says, I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. Whew, that's pretty tough, isn't it? I will sweep away both man and beast. I will sweep away the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea. See, and the idols that cause the wicked to stumble, when I destroy all mankind on the face of the earth, declares the Lord. And then it doesn't get any better. You go to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Here's what it says. He says, therefore, wait for me, declares the Lord. For the day I will stand up to testify, I've decided to assemble the nations, to gather the kingdoms, and to pour out my wrath on them, all my fierce anger. The whole world would be consumed by the fire of my jealous anger. Matter of fact, he even gets a little bit more specific when he talks about Jerusalem. In Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 4, here's what he says. He says, I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all who live in Jerusalem. I will destroy every remnant of Baal worship in this place, the very names of the adulterous priests. Now remember that word, remnant. Because I'm going to show you the difference from these eight oracles, these eight sayings, prophecies, what God says in the first and what he says in the last. The first eight are of one subject, and the last one, the ninth one, is very, very different. Here, let me show it to you. It's in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 12. Look at this. He says, but I will leave within you the meek and humble, the remnant. There's that word again. He said before that he was going to destroy the remnant of Baal and anybody that worshiped Baal. And here he says, the remnant of Israel will trust in the name of the Lord. They will do no wrong. They will tell no lies. A deceitful tongue will not be found in their mouths. They will eat and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. He continues, sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves you. And look at this. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Isn't that a beautiful passage? I mean, just the word picture of God singing, rejoicing over us. Did you ever sing a lullaby to your children? Did you ever have a sweet love song that you sang to your kids, or maybe your wife or your husband? My daughter Sarah and I, we're really funny because throughout the years we had this song, and I can't even tell you how it really became our song, but when this song comes on and one of us hear it, we always call the other one and we just immediately start singing. Okay, the song is called The Grundy County Auction. Do you know this song? I'm not going to sing it for you. You can look it up. But it's interesting because anytime that song comes on, I call her and I sing it, you know, or she calls me and she'll sing it to me, you know. Won't you give me a sign? Give me a sign. I don't mind. I'd do anything and bidden and at your beck and call or something like that. I forget it now. But it's our song. You know, you ever thought about this? God has a song for you and with you. And what it is just that he loves you so much that he rejoices over you. I see this as a picture. I mean, have you ever gone in and just looked at your children sleeping? You know, I said to Arlene not too long ago, I said, our grandkids are such, they are so beautiful and so cute, and they are so well-mannered in still pictures. You know, if it's a live video, or if you're there with them live, it's chaotic, right? You ever snuck? I've done this. I've snuck in the rooms just to watch them sleep, just to look at their pert little lips being still. You know, and you may touch them and just share a word of thanksgiving over them. That's how God wants to be with you. You know, it's really easy to read Zephaniah and just think about nothing but judgment and retribution and fire and brimstone and God's anger and just all of that. But when he gets to the end, he changes it. But he changes it just for a certain group of people. Who is that group of people? It's the remnant. Who is the remnant? What is a remnant? A remnant is a small group that has remained faithful. A small group that haven't given in to the things of the world. You know, Jesus said that broad is the way, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many find it. But narrow is the way that leads to life. And he said very few find it. You see, folks, there's still this idea of a remnant today. And what is a remnant? A remnant is those that haven't forgotten about God and knows that God has not forgot about them. And just to understand and to think about this, take a look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 14. I love this. He said, he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. You see, folks, he didn't understand that he wasn't the only one left, but he was a part of a small group known as a remnant. Those that continued to trust in their Lord God. Listen, folks, God has a plan to rejoice over those that do not give in to the schemes of the devil. The song of rejoicing that God has for his people are for those that are a part of the remnant. That's you and that's me in the world in which we live today. And God wants us to hear from him. He wants to hear this beautiful declaration from Zephaniah 1, 2, and 3. Look at it again. This is his declaration to us when he says, I'm going to sweep away everything from the face of the earth. I will sweep away both man and beast. I will sweep away the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea and the idols that cause the wicked to stumble when I destroy all mankind on the face of the earth, declares the Lord. And that day is coming. That day is coming for all of us. And for, you know, as Paul says in the New Testament, that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But you know what? There's a group called the remnant that have done that now. And they call him Lord and Savior. And his declaration is that we need to understand that terrible day is coming when God's judgment comes, but we can be different. So real quickly, let me give you three things about a remnant, and you can jot these down in your bulletin there in your notes. But you know, a remnant, first of all, a remnant is faithful. You know, when God is talking about the destruction that is to come here, he talks about those that worship Baal. He talks about those that have turned their back on God. But the remnant is faithful. Remember Daniel? Daniel was commanded to worship the king. Daniel said no. Daniel was told not to pray out his window facing his homeland. No, I must pray. Paul, Silas, those in the New Testament, don't preach. No, I got to preach. You know, I got to be faithful to God rather than just to man. A remnant is faithful. Listen, folks. The church today is being called to be faithful. To be faithful to God, to be faithful to his word, regardless of what the world says is right or wrong, that our view of this world is based on God's word and what he says to us there. And we must be faithful and true to that. Number two, a remnant is determined. A remnant is determined. I love Acts chapter 1 verse 8 when he says that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the earth. You know, to be a witness, you got to know something. You got to say something. You got to be something. You know, you have to be willing to speak up, and you have to have the character to back up what you're saying. Sometimes I don't think that we have the determination to be sold out believers as we should. Sometimes I think we're kind of like Nicodemus in the New Testament, that the book of John says that he came to Jesus by night, almost like he was afraid of what his contemporaries would think about him. Does that sound familiar? We need to be determined. We need to be willing to stand up. You know, I was in the hospital room last week. It was really interesting. I went into a room. I was visiting this guy, and I did not know him. I walked in. I said, "My name is John. I'm a pastor and one of the chaplains here." And as soon as I said that, he threw his hands up and he said, "I'm not buying what you're selling. I'm not buying what you're selling." I said, "Well, that's good, because I'm not selling anything, you know." And so I tried to break the ice a little bit, you know, and he told me a little bit about his family. And I told him a little bit about my life and everything. And, you know, I talked to him about faith and about God some. And then when I got to the end of it, you know, he let me know again that, you know, I'm not a person of religion. I'm not interested in any of that. And I said, "Well, sir," I said, "you've made it very plain that you don't believe." I said, "But I want you to know that I believe. I believe it with all my heart." And I said, "Would it be okay? I know you don't believe, but I believe it. Would it be okay if I prayed with you before I left?" He said, "Sure." He bowed his head. And I prayed. You know, years ago, I think if I'd have walked into that situation, somebody said, "No, I'm not buying what you're selling." I'd have said, "Okay, no problem. I'm leaving. You know, you just walk out. You know what? I think God wants us to be a determined member of the remnant today. Because that determination sometimes will melt the doubts in the hearts and the minds of people. And God needed, even back then, and this, you know, when you talk about a remnant, you know, there was a number of different times that they were carried away into captivity, and, you know, God's people dwindled because of this or that or the other, but there was always a remnant like there is now. But that remnant has to come back and then re-flourish the faith of the people in the land. And listen, folks, that's what a revival is all about. And God is calling us to be that kind of person today, a faithful remnant, a determined remnant. And finally, the third one is just a hopeful remnant. I don't know about you folks, but I look around the world today and I see people that just don't have a lot of hope. Don't have a lot of hope that things can get better. Don't have a lot of hope that things can change. Don't have a lot of hope that right's going to win. They just aren't very hopeful. But let me tell you something, folks. The people of God should be the most hopeful individuals on the planet. We should have more hope than anybody, because we know about redemption. We know about forgiveness. We know about mercy. We know about repentance. We know about salvation that comes through grace, or by grace through faith in Him. We have an understanding about the end of times and how this is going to happen. I mean, look, folks, we live in a world today where people think that humanity may totally end in just a few years because of, name your thing, global warming, you know, whatever. I don't know. You know, I just wonder about that. But I'm hopeful, and you should be too. You know, I don't know about you. I made some something the other day at home in our oven. And I turned my gas oven on, and I wondered, you know, you've heard all that. People are saying you can't have a gas oven. It makes no sense to me. I don't know where that comes from, and I don't know what that has to do with this, but I'm hopeful. That's, you know what I'm saying? You know, I want to cook my biscuits. I wanted to do that kind of thing. But listen, folks, in Jesus Christ, we can be hopeful. Because you know what, folks? We don't just have to look around like Zephaniah did and see a culture that's fighting against God. We can look at God and hear from His Word that although 8 out of 9 of the oracles are about God's judgment, the last one, the one that ends with, is all about love and joy and forgiveness and hope. So I think, folks, that we can live that way. You see, I read the book of Zephaniah, and then I read it again and again, And I changed my overall opinion from it, with it. Because at first, I think I even said to some of the staff in a meeting that we had, I was just talking about how, you know, just judgment and all this kind of thing. Then I noticed when I was reading it that he begins and ends his little book in the exact same way. Did you notice this? Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 1. He says, the word of the Lord. Zephaniah 3:20, the end of the book. He says, says the Lord. So when I look between those two statements in the book of Zephaniah, I see God. I see a God that can deal with the disobedience and the nightmare issues going on in our culture. But I also see a God who made us and loves us and wants us to spend eternity with Him. So God has a plan. That plan is to rejoice over us because we are a part of the few. We are part of the remnant. The remnant that is faithful, that is determined, that is hopeful. The only question to be answered is simply this one. Are you part of that remnant? Or are you just part of the crowd? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful morning that you've given us. And God, I just pray very sincerely right now that you would speak to us during this marvelous song that we're about to sing. And help us, Lord, to address two things before you. Are we part of the straight and narrow, the remnant? Are we part of the wide highway, Lord, that leads to destruction? God, only we can answer that for ourselves, but we all certainly know. We certainly know, Lord, that because we can be part of the remnant, that we can be saved, that we can be rescued, that we can be moved from the wide road that leads to destruction to the narrow road that leads to life. So God, I pray that we would happily step into that role as being part of the remnant. And may we know, Lord, that it's not being part of the remnant because you have made us part of that, but that, Lord, that we have chosen to live a life of faithfulness in you in spite of the downward spiral of the culture around us. So God, may we choose that place happily. And may, Lord, you use us to bring others into that place as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand, please, and sing.